Conti and Dolan, 312-332-7800. What are three things that your clients are kind of talking to you about this week?
Well, thanks for asking, John.
Yeah.
So three different things that I was asked about this week that I hear pretty often had to do with investigations, compensation, and age discrimination. So let's talk about those real briefly.
Yeah, okay, so investigations, what do you mean?
Yeah, so a client called me, and she's like, I was swept up in an investigation involving my boss. I don't think I did anything wrong. I followed my boss's instructions. She works at a large hospital. Obviously, I'm not going to say what it is. In compliance, okay? And a lot of very sensitive issues. And she was understandably upset. Because she did not think she did anything wrong.
So there's some investigation into the boss.
Yes, but now she is named. She is named also because she followed the instructions of the boss.
Named as a target of the investigation?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so not
like an alleged wrongdoer, not a witness.
Oh.
That actually came with her second investigation. Right, it's very scary. And so she was like, what should I do? And I said, first of all,
is this criminal or is this civil or is this...
You know what? It could be both, frankly.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So she was understandably nervous.
Yes.
But let's just carve out the criminal for a second, just focus on the civil for the larger issues.
Okay.
I said, listen, you have to participate. You have to participate, answer the questions, give them what they want. She said, well, it's HR. I think they're very biased. It's an internal investigation, not an outside counsel, which I think
oftentimes
helps.
So no one's been sued yet or anything?
No one's been sued yet. They're looking into improper behavior.
So it's internal at this point?
Totally internal.
Okay.
Could be external, though.
Should you be there during these investigations?
Not at that point, no. Somewhere down the road.
Could you be?
Perhaps. Probably not
okay.
At that stage. I can ask. I cannot demand.
Okay.
Because she's an employee of the company. It's an internal confidential investigation. So she participates. It turns out that they believe she was engaged in wrongdoing. Okay. That's where it ends internally. It goes to, so then now people think she engaged in wrongdoing internally. Okay. So then it goes to the outside counsel. Outside counsel does a investigation because there are a lot of complaints about how it was run. They find that she did nothing wrong.
So an independent law firm looked into it.
Yes.
Probably hired by the company.
Yes, for sure.
So
by the hospital.
Kind of like backing up their own internal investigation to see if they found similar things.
Yep. And what they found was her boss engaged in improper activity. She did not. However, at that point, everybody believed that she did. Because the first investigation concluded that she did.
So she's like, and the word got out, and everyone kind of knows.
Yes, word got out, right. And so she's concerned about that as well. And so I said, and they, the employer, would not send out
a statement
exonerating her because they're afraid, like, who knows about this investigation? Maybe it's going to be too, you know, widely known. We're telling people she didn't do anything when they didn't even know anything about the investigation. So she had several issues. The larger issue has to do with investigations. What do I do if I'm the target, if I'm a witness?
Okay.
I get those questions all the time. I always say you must participate, no matter how biased you think the investigator is, no matter how you feel about your, you know, you're improperly targeted, is it because of maybe some discrimination going on or something like that? But if they have concerns about whether they did something wrong, then we can talk about that and what that means to you down the road.
If your HR is interviewing you about something, I mean, you're not sworn in under oath under you can't be deposed later for perjury or something, can you? I'm sure you say go in there and tell the truth with whatever you're comfortable with sharing, to a certain extent. I mean, like, I'm not saying lie, but it's a matter of, I don't know. What do you tell people in those situations?
Here's the problem, John. So if they don't participate or participate in without 100%, you know, honesty.
Or say, I don't recall.
Or say, I don't recall when you do. Frankly, you do. That could harm your ability to challenge the investigation down the road for a whole bunch of different reasons. Whether it wasn't fair, whether you're a target of discrimination or harassment or retaliation. By the way, it turns out that client had previously complained about the boss, but then nobody did anything. So she believes the whole thing was retaliation against her, were being swept up. So those kind of things sort of reveal themselves as you talk with people about the investigation.
Drama.
But it's very sensitive as to what you're supposed to do. And so, you know, we're sorting through it, a lot of issues. I'm working with the company to, you know, get a statement sent to people who know about the investigation that she did not do anything right, etc. So
just to try and make her workplace experience better at this point, right?
Yeah.
Get her to move on.
You know, the fact of the matter is, though, ultimately, I think we'll have to negotiate a separation package because I think too much damage was done to her reputation, which is unfortunate.
I was going
to
suggest that. I should be the lawyer.
Yeah, I think you are, though. Yeah. You know, and that's often the practical consequence of that. Is it right? No, it's not. But right. That's just the normal. The best way to go.
So if someone is called into HR, they're told they are going to be a witness or they're the target of an investigation. By the way, do they tell you what camp you fall into those two realms? Do they say you're a witness or we think you did something wrong, or do they just say, hey, let's have a chat?
You know what? Not normally the case either way. So sometimes they're told they're a target, sometimes they're told a witness, but they're really a target. And so I ask a bunch of questions of that person about the investigation. Sometimes they don't know a ton about the investigation, frankly, which makes it more difficult.
Right. Let's say I'm being investigated or I'm the witness. Can I record these conversations on my phone?
No, you can't.
Can I take notes?
Yes, you can. So in Illinois, both parties have to consent to a recording of the conversation.
Right. But if they agreed, you could. I mean, if you were like, hey, I want to record this.
Yeah, but they never will.
They never will.
Yeah, they never will. But what I tell people is immediately after you're questioned, write everything down. Everything. You know, because that's when you remember the best.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our phone number to call for any questions you might have. Maybe you've been investigated. You want to spill the tea without telling us any of the details, or just ask Patrick questions about what you should do. What were the other two things we're going to talk about, Patrick?
Compensation.
And
age discrimination.
All right, we'll get to those after Sylvia Snowden with the news here on WGN. This is Let's Get Legal. We're powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Patrick Dolan, to my right, an employment lawyer. Patrick, how you doing, my friend?
Good.
You're more settled down now this half hour?
No, I feel good.
Good. You were talking about things that your clients have been talking to you about, or three specific points, and one was about interrogations or...
Investigations.
Yes. Which can seem like interrogations.
Yeah, for sure. And sometimes they are, frankly.
And if someone is called in or they're going to have to talk to HR, is it the worst idea in the world to just call you ahead of time and just talk through it with someone?
No, I talk to them all the time. I mean, most people call me at that point. And so I ask them a ton of questions about what's going on, and we kind of help formulate responses. And, you know, I talk about possible exposure they have and all that kind of stuff. So that's exactly the right time to talk to me.
Right. And just because they're talking to you doesn't mean that you'll show up into the HR interrogation or you're going to immediately start sending letters. A lot of it is just your game planning. And because at some point you want to give HR some leverage to do whatever they need to do. And it would be weird if a lawyer, you're probably within your right for your lawyer to be like, hi, I'm here, or I represent this person, but you don't want to escalate things too quickly if you don't have to. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I do, and I agree. And it really depends if they're the target or a witness, or they really, you know, just depends on their circumstances to how explicitly I get involved. Most of the time, I simply advise them on how to go about being a part of an investigation and what to be concerned about.
I just picture a lot of people, when we think of investigations or interrogations, we go with what we've seen on TV, which is usually on some criminal law show. And workplace investigations are way different, and different standards are there, right?
At that point, right. If it's an internal HR investigation, it's not normally what you're looking at when you see that in a TV or a film, something like that. But if it's outside counsel and you are the target, then that's a whole different ballgame.
Lawyer up?
Yeah, for sure. Because now could be more of an interrogation, and they're gathering facts to support a termination or something. It really depends on what's going on. That's why you have to walk through all the issues at the beginning, because if the person's too far down the road, it could be too late based on what they said or did.
A lot of people might be thinking, I don't need a lawyer to help me out with just a little, I'm just a witness, you know, I'll just give my statement. And maybe five sure. times out of 10, that might be the case.
Absolutely.
But I imagine there's things that you can start telling people to do that will if it goes any further, if it goes a different direction, they can at least start preparing and start having taken those notes, whatever it is.
Right. And also, you know, in terms of securing and gathering information, it's really sensitive. What about emails or text messages or voicemails that they have that supports either the fact that they didn't do anything wrong or, you know, defends any claim that they did? So you've got a lot of stuff to talk about there that's pretty sensitive.
Okay. We had a caller that didn't want to go on the air. Ridian took some good notes here for us, some bullet points, since you stole her headphones, Patrick Dolan.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
This person called. They work at a big company. They still work there. They make a commission, but it's paid out over 2 years in a residuals program. The company is canceling the residuals program, and they're not paying them out. Is there a way he can collect his money even though the program is being removed?
Yeah, it's possible. So it depends on what the commission plan says.
I don't even know what all that means, by the way. What does that mean?
So what it says is he's on a commission plan that essentially at some point he has the right to the compensation, but it's going to be paid out over time.
Okay.
The question is, what does the plan say about when he has the right to that compensation? Because what a plan cannot do, a commission plan or frankly any kind of compensation plan, is take away a vested right to monies you've already earned. Illinois law is pretty good on commission stuff. So in bonus stuff also, but it depends about if it's discretionary, but sticking on commissions. So you start with what does the commission plan say about when the person has the right to the money. In other words, when did they earn the money? That's a really important point. So it doesn't. So if he has the right to the money, earned it at that point, they can't simply change the plan or do away with the plan.
Just because they're in the middle of the two
right,
years of paying
exactly,
it out.
It
has to be dispersed then.
Because that's just how it's going to be paid, not whether he has a right to the money. So
right. We
start with what the plan says, and I read commission plans all the time, and I'm like, geez, that's pretty tough because you actually don't earn the money until maybe the client pays or, right, the deal is closed or, you know, something. But there's criteria there about to determine when the money's earned.
So what you're saying is if you have qualified for that money, it is owed to you, even if it's on this two-year plan, and a year into it, they say, well, we're done with the plan, they owe you half your money.
Yes.
And they have to pay you.
In general, that's absolutely the case.
Okay.
Got to start with the plan language, though, John.
Right, because the company could argue, well, no, you weren't entitled to this money because it turns out this company that you did business with never paid you, and you never banked that into this bank.
Maybe, but then, you know, again, Illinois law is pretty good about earned compensation, and companies get pretty crafty with that kind of language, and so you have to, that's not the end of the story if they say that.
That was good of you to come up with the word crafty so quickly.
What about it?
You could have said a lot meaner things there.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, and our phone lines are open right now. We'd love for you to call in with any workplace issues you have. So compensation, that leads you to the second thing that you said clients have been talking to you about this week.
Right. So a female executive called me and said, I was at a social function recently and I met an old colleague and we were talking about bonuses that we got at this prior company, a big investment bank. And they're both moved on to new jobs. And this former male colleague told her that he got a bonus that year in the seven figures. Okay, so pretty good size bonus. She did not. She got about half that number.
Okay, so they are at a new company now. Are they at the same new company?
Nope.
No, they're different new companies.
Nope.
Okay, and they're reminiscing on old
times.
They
are, because they're talking about their current compensation plans and how it relates to their old ones.
Right, and this guy has a monocle and a top hat because he's talking about his $1 million bonus, okay? And
that's
a
Monopoly guy?
Right, exactly.
Yes, thank you.
And she only has, like, bags of cash at her. I'm just kidding. I'm not making fun of her. This is great. Good for them that they got these big bonuses.
No, yeah, they did. But the point is like, she's like, I had no idea, and we did the same thing, you know, similar performers, all that kind of stuff.
So the question is, can you retroactively go back to a former employer and say there was some sort of discrimination based on her gender or something that led to her getting less pay? She deserves that money.
And but here's the catch, John.
What's the catch?
Here's the catch. It occurred like 3 years ago. So the time for a gender discrimination claim has gone.
300 days, right?
Yes.
I get that right?
You did. Under state and federal law, 300 days. Although there's an effort to lengthen the time under the Illinois Human Rights Act to 3 years, which would be, I think, much more fair because 300 days is super short for those kind of claims. Anyway,
yeah.
So she's like, I've been discriminated against. They said, maybe you have, but the time on that claim you cannot file with the EEOC or the IDHR has run.
Hold
but
on.
But here's what you can do.
Oh, can I ask one more question before you do, before you can do? Isn't it 300 days from when you realize the discrimination?
No. It's 300 days when the harm occurred. So when she was paid the bonus and the guy was paid the bonus, which was March or whatever it was, I don't remember. But they were both paid the bonus at the same time, and that was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Hold on. Come on. Patrick, use
That's
your lawyer.
What it is.
Lose your lawyer. Use your lawyer brain here.
Okay.
I would say the harm occurred when she went out for drinks and found out she missed out on $500,000.
Yeah, that's not how the law looks at that, John.
Well, I'd argue it differently.
I know you would.
And I'd lose.
And you would lose. Right. I don't bother.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
So she can't, she doesn't have recourse
but
there.
But I said, here's the good news.
Okay.
And it's even better than your discrimination claim.
Uh-oh.
It's the Illinois Wage Payment and Collection Act, which has a 10-year statute of limitations. Probably the only one in the entire country that I know of that has a 10-year statute. Most are much shorter than that. So what we have to do is say they breached a contract with you in failing to pay those wages that were owed to you under the bonus program.
So okay? This isn't arguing a discrimination.
Yeah.
This is arguing that these are wages due to this person.
Yes.
That were somehow underpaid.
Yes.
For some unfair reason we don't know about.
That's right.
Hidden from the client.
That is right.
And they owe us based on state statute that has
and a 10-year. And, of course, it turns out, I don't know if it's of course, that they both had a male boss who his buddy was the guy who got the bigger bonus.
So under this Illinois law, are you able to argue discrimination was the reason for the wage theft?
No.
You just have to say there was wage theft.
Like the commission plan, you have to go back to the bonus plan in the terms of the bonus plan. And if, you know, and argue, listen, under these terms, I should have got that seven-figure bonus just like the other guy because our numbers were the same, our performance ratings were the same, we're in the same group. So even if you look at how the corporation or that group did, in other words, I have a right to that compensation just like he did under the terms of the plan.
That's why it helps having a lawyer who knows these laws in and out, Patrick Dolan. So did you write your angry letter yet or what?
Well, I'm working on it.
Okay, good.
When I get out of the studio, I'm going to work on it. As I'm stuck in traffic driving home.
Yeah, you can just dictate in the phone.
312-332-7800
is Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan Employment Law. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll get to more of your questions. We'll get to more of what Patrick's been talking about with clients after this on WGN. This program is called Let's Get Legal. We're powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. We're a show that is hosted by me. I'm John Hansen. I am not a lawyer, but I have expert lawyers on with me who help answer your questions. Patrick Dolan is here right now, and you're an employment lawyer, and we're going to continue on with questions about employment law. Okay. By the way, we were talking about compensation, and you brought to me the example of one of your clients who felt like she deserved a bonus higher than what she got based on a former employee, a man, who got that higher bonus, and now you're working through an Illinois law to try and get that money for
her. That's
right. Let's go to Jack. Jack, what is your question, concern? And remember, don't say any company name, okay?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, so that was quite intriguing that compensation you have up to 10 years to resolve that dispute, if you will. So I was let go approximately 5 years ago. The company that I worked for had a management bonus program based on the profitability of each division, you know, each manager's division, et cetera, which paid out, you know, roughly almost 75 days left to that fiscal annual year to be paid out. But I was let go 75 days prior to that. Am I entitled, or was I, or could I be entitled to that money that was earned up until that point, even though it was paid at the end of the annual cycle with
right.
75 days at the end of that.
So, Jack, what you're wondering is you were let go 75 days before the end of the year. That still leaves 290 days, unless it was a leap year, then it was 291.
Good.
Right?
Math,
200,
math.
Good to have it.
Yeah,
290 days. Should you still be entitled to whatever percentage 290 out of 365 is, even though it's been 5 years? Patrick Dolan, go.
Correct.
That's a great question, and it's not an unusual question. And you do have a good argument that you are owed that prorated commission. Excuse me. Got a little excited there. Commission.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would love to talk to Jack further about that because I need to see, you know, the plan that it's based on. But according to the facts he just mentioned, it's not unusual for me to hear that argument, and there's some good law in Illinois about to support the fact that you should get the prorated commission.
Right, unless it was like in the handbook as you must be employed on the last day of the year.
They say that a lot. That is not the end of the story, John.
What do you mean? If it's in the handbook, you got to be employed on the last day of the year.
No. So, well, okay.
No, it's not. And here, I'm an outsider, and here's my point to that, because we were also a company that was, and I hate to say this, but I got to do it, it was an ESOP company. And I waited until that annual reporting, which only goes another almost 9 months before they report that, and they paid me for that ESOP year for the 300 out of the 360 or whatever, that 290.
I don't even know what ESOP is.
I qualified for that ESOP earning, so I got to be equal to, I would think that I would, that they already set precedent that says, hey, we owe you that commission, Jack.
Jack Smart.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good analogy. It's an employee stock option plan.
Oh, okay.
That's what ESOP, yeah.
You don't have to be embarrassed by that. That's okay.
I'm not embarrassed.
Not you. I meant Jack, Patrick. He was even hesitant to say that, and good for you. That's great.
All right, guys.
Do you have Patrick's number, Jack, by the way?
No, I'm going to write it down right now.
Great. I'll say it slowly. 312.
Get your arm.
332-7800. You got it, Jack?
I got it. Patrick, I'll give you a holler on Monday.
Thanks, Jack. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too, guys. I appreciate your show.
That's good. Thank you. Especially Jack Will, if you get him some money.
I know.
And that's what we're all about here on Let's Get Legal.
We're about helping people.
We're trying to help people get money or what they're owed. And honestly, it's about what you're owed. Exactly.
Right.
312-981-7200. Discrimination, age discrimination was the third thing that a client was coming
at you. Yeah, so he was part of a large company reduction in force. And in that scenario, the company has to provide a bunch of information about who was selected and who was not, and the ages of both groups to determine whether there's any sort of, impact on those over 40, because that's what the law
protects.
So
this was a big layoff.
Huge.
And it was big enough that it triggered the WARN Act.
Yes.
Huh, look at me.
Well, yeah, good. That's good. Also, yeah, under the Older Workers Benefit and Protection Act, which is part of the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, you have to provide someone a bunch of information when they put them in part of a reduction in force that provides a whole list of the entire group of people that were considered for and then selected or not selected for termination. So you can see all of their ages. You see the position, the age, and whether they're selected or not. So I looked at his group, didn't look like there was a big issue. It was a mix of people over and under 40, all right? So that's not really age discrimination.
Right.
I asked him where his job duties went. People under 40? No, not people under 40. That's strike number two. Were any comments ever made about his age in putting him in that category? No, strike number three. So it's probably like you go through these questions about age. But.
Ooh. It may have been age discrimination because of a reason you'll tell us after the news.
Ooh, that's a tease. Good.
Yes, okay. And then Kathy's got an interesting question as well. So I'm going to keep you on a little bit longer.
Sure.
Into the 2 o'clock hour. And then our great attorney who's here from Wallace Miller will hop in as well. We'll do all that in the second hour of Let's Get Legal.
You're listening to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association with host John Hansen. Today's show is sponsored by attorney Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan and Nick Kelly, attorney at Wallace Miller. Now, here's John Hansen, and let's get legal.
And we're going to meet Nick Kelly in just a little bit from Wallace Miller at 210 on WGN. Patrick Dolan and I talking about our tournament picks and what's going on in the brackets. I did go to our WGN Radio's Hoops Challenge, which you can't sign up for now. It was sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. We're all playing against Lou Manfredini. And I just wanted to mention that in our host brackets, not for any money or anything like that, but just looking at this thing, Lauren Lapka leads right now at WGN, tied with Andy Mazur with 48 points. I'm right behind at 46, and I'm tied with Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett, of course, the voice of the Wildcats, who has seen so much college basketball. I've watched a total of 2 games so far this year, and they've both been after I picked my brackets already, and I'm tied for second. So
that's impressive, John.
You know, exactly.
Of course, people are swearing at you right now.
Right. I'm just saying that's a long way of saying that I don't care how much you know.
I watched a lot of college basketball, and I'm second to last in a group of 20.
Yeah. So. It's, so even if you haven't done the WGN Radio Hoops Challenge,
it might be last.
Go to WGNRadio.com and you can see the standings and you can cheer for me. I would appreciate
that. Cheer for John.
And by the way, you can become a WGN Radio Insider. Subscribe to the WGN Radio Insider newsletter. We share exciting contests, events, can't miss conversations. And it just goes out every now and then, and it gives you a really opportunity to see what's going on at the station. Stay connected with us. Stay connected with all the great deals we have going on. It hits inboxes once a month, so it's not going to clog you, not going to give you so much spam. And the next one comes out, I think it's April 5th. So sign up today, WGNRadio.com/newsletters, WGNRadio.com/newsletters. And then we got some special announcements we share with you as well. Subscribe today, WGNRadio.com/newsletters.
Okay.
All right, Patrick Dolan, you were talking about a case, Patrick's an employment lawyer, Conti Dolan Law, about someone who thought that they had been discriminated for age.
Right.
For being too old,
yes.
Patrick, yes?
Yes.
And that line is in Illinois and federally 40.
40,
right?
That's correct.
And you had gone through a test to determine, were you discriminated by age? Recap the three reasons why at first it didn't seem like an age discrimination case.
He did not believe that he was replaced by somebody under 40.
And let me just mention also, it was a mass layoff.
Huge.
So you have data and people that you can kind of compare who was laid off or not, which probably helps you in your case.
It does if you're looking at it statistically, which is a harder argument. It doesn't. That's all the information you get.
Okay.
The position, age, selected or not.
So and you're just... You're just trying to determine in a mass layoff,
yeah,
were all the people over the,
yes,
age of 40 or something, yeah, some trend that wouldn't be explained.
Yeah, the law is pretty tough when it comes to statistical analysis. It has to be very, very obvious,
right,
that people over 40 would discriminate. So anyway, was he replaced by somebody under 40? He does not believe so, but his responsibilities went to different people,
mm-hmm,
or so he thought. The second question was, were any comments made to him about his age? Okay.
Right.
Couldn't think of any comments.
Hey, old man. Saying, hey, yeah, grandpa. Blah, blah, blah. Or you don't know how to do this technology because you're so old.
Right. None of that happened. And did he, was he offered another position? The answer is no. Okay. So were people under 40 offered another position? He couldn't think of any.
Okay, so there didn't seem to be on its face any like red light saying he was let go because he was older than 40. Until.
But like, this is exciting, John.
Yeah.
But like a lot of discrimination and retaliation cases, you got to ask a lot of questions to prime people's memories because they don't even know if what they have is really helpful or not.
Right.
Okay. So we start talking about conversations he's had with other people laid off, et cetera, et cetera. He's like, actually, one colleague who was laid off did mention that he talked to a boss. Both of them had the same boss.
Mm-hmm.
And the boss had said that the guy who called me, his responsibilities were actually going to a specific person, which he was told they were not.
So when he was laid off, he said, we're not replacing you with anyone.
Yes.
We're divvying up your responsibilities,
yes,
across who's left in the company.
A whole bunch of different people, which makes the job harder proving age discrimination.
But another colleague who was also laid off,
yes,
heard, wait, no, that his responsibilities are going to a specific person. So
yes,
essentially a replacement.
Their common boss told this other guy that.
Okay.
And lied to my client. The boss lied to my client. And so he's like, I said, that's interesting. Where did it go? Went to a guy who's 32. I'm like, okay. At least we have the basics.
Because that doesn't necessarily mean that it's age discrimination.
No.
Because then, companies probably have that happen all the time without discriminating against
someone.
But now
I have an argument.
You get something.
Before I had nothing.
Okay.
And especially in a mass layoff, it's really difficult to get a better package because, man, these things are so much effort goes into, you're in a certain band, and that band gets X amount of separation pay and benefits and blah, blah, blah. Companies do not like to go outside of that unless you have a good claim of something. Okay.
You said band there, by the way.
Okay.
I thought you meant they were in a band in the office.
No, maybe it was. I don't know.
Different levels.
Different levels.
Okay.
Sorry. This is so much of this is baked in, right? So I have to come up with something that provides some additional leverage to get a better deal. So now it turns out he was replaced by a very specific person, 32 years old, I think he said. And I'm like, okay. At least we have the basics for a claim. At least we can use that as leverage, try to get a better separation package. But I think the moral of the story is you just have to talk through it. Because people are like, I forgot about that conversation that I had with this guy. It didn't really mean anything to me, blah, blah, blah. And it occurred after all these decisions were made.
Right. So at this point, what you're trying to get him, has the separation already happened or is it in the process?
It's already happened.
So you're just trying to send a letter to this company and hope that they go, yeah, okay, let's up this pay a little bit to essentially settle this matter.
Yeah, I mean, this is the beginning of it, you know, in terms of the age claim.
Right.
I hope there's more to it, to, you know, more well-support. But the fact that his boss lied to him, that's also helpful.
So you're not trying to get his job back necessarily.
No, it's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
No,
you're not trying to sue the company. At least you might have to do that if they don't respond. But
if he has an age claim, and he might in that circumstance, then you say, we will file a claim with the EEOC, or let's make the package better.
Yeah. Right, and again, if there's something there, then they're going to want to pay up.
That's right.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. But Patrick Dolan, we're just about out of time, my friend.
Hey, my friend, good to see you.
It is great to see you, too. Who should be calling you and why?
Yeah, anybody with workplace or employment-related issues, compensation. We didn't talk about non-competes today, but I still get calls almost every day, John, about non-competes. They're still very real. They're enforceable.
Is it people saying, I don't think mine's enforceable. I've heard that they're not enforceable.
Sometimes, but they're really concerned with trying to understand the language of the non-compete. Can be because a lot of them are written in a vague way, which, you know, can impact whether they're enforceable. They just want to know whether they can get the next job. And so we have to walk through that. And then some people who have had a cease and desist letter from their former employer saying you can't work there. So all that kind of stuff is still going on. You know, hear that almost every day.
Right. 312-332-7800 is your number. And it's not like you just, well, I don't know. You always take calls from WGN Radio listeners.
I do.
You help them out a little bit. Even if it doesn't result in you guys working together, you always are happy to give some advice and help people guide them in the right direction.
For sure. And as you might expect, I get a lot of calls on Monday and Tuesday.
Well, that's good.
Happy to help.
Because we got a lot of good listeners out there.
Yeah, of course.
And you respond, and we appreciate that. 312-332-7800 is your phone number. Patrick Dolan, good to see you, my friend.
Thanks, John. Take care.